When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
The following big interview was posted in full for our socios, our members, our supporters, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter last season, which, in case you've forgotten, was 2018-19. Sign up there and you get these extra interviews 12 months in advance of everybody else, and who doesn't like to be ahead of the game? You'll have bonus content as well and a more interactive experience in general. For the rest of you, here's what the socios were listening to this time last year.
Hello, I'm Graham. This is the big interview. Our guest this week is Simon Stainrod. Have I taken a risk? Maybe. Simon's greatest playing days were perhaps before some of you began watching football, not before mine. And many of you I know will not only remember Simon as an outrageously gifted, but also outrageously cheeky footballer. And I mean that in the best possible sense. The ball, to him, wasn't simply a friend, but a friend with whom he could get out and do ridiculous things on a Saturday afternoon or a Wednesday night. To my way of thinking, he came from a special family. Now, I don't mean the Stainrods, much as though I guess, given how Simon's turned out, they must be pretty special. But that family that included Frank Worthington, Stan Bowles, Duncan McKenzie, Tony Curry, and in the modern time, Zidane, Valeron, Xabi Prieto, men of impressive size, height, power sometimes, but unified by being witty, creative, anarchic. We call them mavericks. I call them one of the main reasons that you and I love football. Beyond that, Simon is a special man. He's funny, he's a really good friend to have, he's intelligent, he's inquisitive, he takes risks, he's hell of a good fun to go out with. Falkirk fans, this is going to be, I predict, the only wonderful footballer of European class who ends up tearful at the memory of Falkirk Football Club and Brockville. This is a guy who I first met, he tells me, at Dundee when he was manager, a guy with whom I mucked about during World Cup 98 in France, a guy whose wedding I went to, a guy who every time I talk to him either makes me laugh or makes me learn something new. He is as entertaining off the pitch as he was on the pitch, and you're going to hear that now. This is Simon Stainrod at his best, one of the most entertaining men and footballers you could ever wish to know about. What did you think about Eric in England? Because he seems to represent a point that the apogee of the... If we've talked about the era of, you know, yourself and Tony Curry and Hudson and Osgood and Worthington and whatever. There was an era in the Premier League when it wasn't like we started this conversation, when it wasn't Anodyne, it wasn't Rabotic, there was De Canio.
Yeah,
De Canio. And there was Bergkamp.
Yeah.
And even in goals, Schmeichel was exactly what we've been talking about, although he's very good at his job. And there was Zola, and there was even Benny Carboni, and the... Everywhere you look.
Can you imagine Sheffield Wednesday? They've got, I think, at the same time, maybe Chris Waddle, Carboni and Di Canio.
At or around, Simon. It's a joy. It does seem like a dream now. But Eric must be the apogee of all of that, because whether he's better than all the players we've talked about, he seemed to be a totem pole where the Premier League went, well, France didn't appreciate you. It's actually the rest.
Exactly.
The guy who throws his things at referees and shouts and swears, and the French were like, and the Premier League was the place where that, we'll bring all your weak and your huddled masses. He's a king, he's fantastic. Mm. He practices, he turns up his collar. And it was an extraordinary time, and maybe his big benefit was timing. And the hint now is that maybe Manchester United are going to be smart enough to bring him back. But what did you view the Cantona years? How did you view the Cantona years? Watching.
Well, I played against him when I was in France, and I knew it merits a description. We were playing for Strasbourg. We were supposed to play Marseille, and all the lads were talking about his player Cantona, and he wasn't going to play because he'd had a fallout with a coach because he'd been brought off in a game and he'd taken his shirt off and thrown it in the coach's face, and he was banned for a little bit. And thank God he wasn't going to be playing. And so we played Marseille. We played quite well, actually. We were very unlucky not to get a draw. My fault. Instead of heading it and scoring, I went for a volley and hit the bar. So, my fault. Anyway, and about 2 weeks later, and we've got a home game coming up.
Is the Marseille of Papin up front?
Yeah, yeah. Papin. The two centre-halves were Bernd Forster and Moser, the Brazilian.
Well, Moser was great.
They were the best two centre-halves I ever played.
Batistone would have still been playing, I think, at that time.
Batistone, yeah, yeah. They were proper.
Yeah.
And it was probably the best best Marseille team that they had. And then they added Chris Waddle as well, like, you know, which made him even better. So we've got a home game coming. We missed a week for International Week or whatever, and we've got a home game coming up. And we're playing Bordeaux, and he was actually loaned out to Bordeaux and played in this game. And he played that game. It was his first game, so you're probably wanting to impress, right? He played that game. I don't think I saw him run once. And every touch of the ball was one touch. He never brought a ball down and played anybody in. He just played one touch. It's like he was in the dressing room before the game. He's like, what would really, really amuse me today is to not run and just touch it once every time I get it. And he did it, and it was like a coaching manual. It's like, you know, 90 minutes of how to play one touch. He could have played for Liverpool when he had a good team. You know, he'd have just walked straight in and gone like, oh, you play one touch, and boom, 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 boom. It was unbelievable. And when I said that to Howard, that, like, you know, you won't like him, Howard would never be able to deal with that individual temperament, whereas Alex Ferguson would embrace the individual temperament and make more of that individual temperament by making the team play better for that individual. Contrary with Howard. He would make the individual try to play better for the team, and I think Alex's way works better.
Have you put your finger in that description?
You have to be really good, though.
Yeah, you do. Of course, you do.
Yeah,
you, special.
You know, you can't. You can have an off day, but you can't have two.
But that idea of taking the team and putting it so that the great player exprimes, brings out his very best. Or the idea of taking a great player or any good player and saying, system first. Have you put your finger on why we don't have today the types of players we've been talking about over all these anecdotes, that systems rule?
Because there's no patience for the individual. There's the, you know, and the big problem is the people who are coaching the teams are educated to coach teams. They're not. How do you coach Eric Cantona? You don't coach him. You mentor him. You can't tell him how to play, but you can put ideas in his head.
My question to you would be, you probably try to convince him.
Yeah, you cajole him a little bit. You're not trying to change him. my little lad was playing when he was 14 for a Sunday league team. At 12 he'd been to a professional club and didn't really enjoy the discipline and the you play this way and you play that way and when it's there you have to pass it there. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't enjoying that, so I said, well, just go and play for your Sunday team and just play your own football. And if you're going to dribble, dribble. If you're going to shoot, shoot. If you're going to cross it, cross it. But make sure that if you're playing, you play with a smile on your face and you score goals and you make goals. That's all you've got to do. And then when it gets to the time, we'll go back. We can always put you back in the seat. So you give them that space to develop. Or I have. I don't think everybody does it because not everybody has my experience. So I want... I want to see coaches give the responsibility back to the players. And that, I sometimes see teams training where they'll have a game on and there'll be three coaches coaching the game, and they'll stop the game and they'll say, in this situation do this and in this situation do that. And I was asked the question by his Sunday team's coach. He didn't know that I'd been in football until this moment, like, you know. And then he's Googled me and he's gone, like, you know, he's been coming for 2 years and never said a word. And like, he said, why have you never said anything? I said, well, it's not my job to say anything, you're the coach. So, like, you know, I'm not going to stick my nose in, I just went to play and enjoy himself. And he is doing. He said, well, can't you come and do a session? I went, nope. He said, well, could you tell me, like, what you would do if you did a session? I said, I'd come, I'd put a bag of balls down, I'd put four cones down, I'd put some vests, some bibs down, and I'd go inside and have a cup of tea. And I said, and what you find is, for 10 minutes, they're all stood around doing nothing. I said, and then somebody will go like, well, he ain't going to come out, is he? So we better do something. So let's pick two teams. So the fella that's decided, he's your captain. You know, when now, you tell us who's going to pick the two teams. So he said, well, it's best if we have two even ones, so we'll pick the two best players. So he picks your two best players for you, and then they're picking the teams. So the last two that get picked are going like, we better have a go here. And all of a sudden you haven't done anything, but you've done so much more than going like, listen, when you get it there, if he pulls away from you, he's making a really good angle, and he's going to come in and he's going to make a nice little triangle there. And it's like, you know, it's...
There are three small themes left, although I'd like this to be first part of a series of seven, if you don't mind, like Alan Fluff Freeman, History of Pop. Our sponsors, Bet365, are going to ask you in a minute, not now, but in a minute, what are your memories of the 1982 FA Cup final? But right now, I have to pick up a theme. You were talking about clubs coming to you and asking your advice, your help with players that have a little bit of street about them, players that still have a little bit of the artful dodger about them. And you found one. You found one in Dembélé.
I did.
And you know, right now I look at him and I think I'm really privileged for all the flaws I can see. And what some of the conversations with the football people have taught me, not to look at the things he can't do or doesn't do, but look at the thing that he does do. And I'm really privileged that right now Dembélé and Vinicius are coming through at the same time in La Liga, at a time when Cristiano Ronaldo's gone away and Leo Messi's going to be 32 in June. But Dembélé was, you know, you knew about his raw, extraordinary talent when he was at Rennes.
He'd never played a first team game.
And he should have been at City, but he isn't. Mm. And the Nice coach probably went to sleep on watch when Patrick Vieira was still...
I don't think he went to sleep on watch. I think he had...
Why isn't Dembélé a City player then?
Because he had rules, probably life rules, that applied to him, which he applied to this situation.
Patrick did?
Yeah. So he didn't want a player who had never played a game in anyone's first team to come to Man City and say, I want a number for the squad and I'm better. He wasn't being big-headed. I'm better than anybody that's playing in your team. And he is. He is. You know?
Usman Dembélé is utterly extraordinary.
Well, I'm so happy because I've been so worried about him.
No.
He's like...
flawed, Simon, and immature, still to learn, but with the personality to learn...
He's had some stupid stick in the press, like, yeah. Oh, that's not true.
Now, if anybody hasn't watched Ousmane Dembele, we're talking about a player who Simon knew, spotted, and was in a position to advise clubs about when Dembele was still in the academy at Rennes, before Dortmund, and he's now... albeit with bumps, you know, bumps about sleeping in and missing training and missing team meetings, is Barcelona without him. And when Barcelona without him, they're a lesser team already. And the kid's, you know, half or a third of the way through his second season, one season at Dortmund. He's beyond where he should be, and he's literally extraordinary.
Let me tell you what he does. When he's got the ball, if he's going to make a pass, and there are two choices... he makes the pass that's most dangerous and makes it well. If he's got a dribble, he can beat a player in so many different ways. If he's going to cross it, he can whip it in, he can chip it up, he can like cut it back, left-footed or right-footed.
He's completely ambidextrous.
He's completely ambidextrous. He can shoot with his left foot the same as he shoots with his right foot. You don't know which way he's going to go. He's got an acceleration from 0 to 60 that's like a Porsche.
There's nobody on the planet, Simon, that plays football right now that goes from standing to that fast.
Unbelievable.
There is literally nobody.
But I think Mbappe's a really good player, but a great player is Ousmane Dembele. I think Mbappe is a really, really good striker.
Mm-hmm.
Ousmane is a really, really good footballer.
Ousmane's got a fantasy. He'll put bums on seats whether the ball goes in the net or not. He's got a weird imagination about what to do. He's still... I would argue that although I'm aware that he's got really strong personality, and I'm also aware that he is where he always wanted to be. He's been Barca fascinated, he's been Messi fascinated.
He is.
And it should work for him. I think that his football maturity age is not above where his passport age, and it might be 18 months below it, because I think I've watched him smelling the coffee. He's got all the gifts. He's always known he's going to make it because the gifts are there. He doesn't have athletic problems. He doesn't have injury repetitively. He's not surrounded by bad people. It's all going to happen. But that whole thing about how hard he's had to work for it to happen, I'm not certain about. But you see at Football Club Barcelona right now, with solid, tough men around him, Messi included, when they're giving instruction, he's listening.
They've latched onto him,
but I see the quid pro quo. Yeah. He's going, okay. Now, Mbappe, because he's got good people and he's quite a strong, bright guy too, and tough, I think he found that quicker. I think he understood it.
He's much more likeable. Because he puts himself more in the press, and he has a charm and of someone that's more seasoned, and he's like much older than he is.
Seasoned's a great word. That's exactly the difference.
And and if I was manager of Man United, I'd probably today buy Mbappe to play in my team as opposed to Ousmane. But Ousmane is a better player. But Man United are not as good as Barcelona.
We're going back to your question about your point about big clubs saying, Simon, give me somebody who's anarchy, who's rock and roll, who's a little bit different, who's young, who's not Stepford Wives.
They don't want anarchy. They just want someone who's easy on the eye, you know, passes forward quickly. Never makes too many stupid mistakes, but and has a little bit of imagination to do, you know, things which make a goal. But they don't. Today's people, they don't want someone who's too difficult, really.
Behaviour-wise, they don't.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks. You're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
Before I draw you to a final section, Bet365, what are your memories of the 1982 FA Cup final? My memory is you standing on the pitch doing, I think, a BBC interview. When the guy, not knowing you then, I look back now and I laugh, and the guy, the interviewer, is like, Simon, and you're in your suit.
Bob Wilson.
Is it Bob? Yeah. Are you quite confident? I mean, any sentence that starts to you, are you quite confident? It's already a wasted question. Oh yeah, we'll win. Yeah, we're quite. I'm quite. Yeah, I was quite sure.
Absolutely.
We'll, Glenn Rodgers.
I was quite posh.
You were very. You were very well behaved. Yes.
I rather fancy our chances. Yes. And
sweet memories. Do you remember much of it? The adrenaline. The what?
First thing, it's not all that long after my sister died. It's a couple of years after my sister died that we played in the cup final.
I had no idea.
A few years.
I had no idea.
4 years. And when the band played Abide With Me, it really got me before the game. I was in the toilets sobbing.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be?
And that's probably my most important memory. The game, the first game, yeah, it was just a game where, you know, you're playing against Spurs, they're not easy. You've got like Perryman, who, like, you know, rubs you up the wrong way all the time and he protects Hoddle. You've got Graham Roberts, who just wants to wind you up and kill you. Murray, centre half, is it Murray? They were a difficult team to play against, and they were quite a successful team.
They were. Crooks and Archibald up front.
Yeah. Good forwards.
Very
good forwards.
Nice partnership.
Who suited the way that Glenn Hoddle played, because he used to, as balls came into him from fullbacks, he'd just clip them into the space for two quick forwards. It was very, very difficult to defend against. The first game, I was just so pleased that we drew, like, you know, it was like... We scored, long throw, flicked on by Bob Hazel, and Fenn heads it in. And I don't know how long was left when we scored, but, you know, we had extra time or whatever. There's a clip that I saw not too long ago of me getting the ball off the goalie and just rolling it back to him and getting it again. So I'm just wanting another game at Wembley, you know. and to be honest, that is what I really wanted.
It was so special to be at Wembley.
Yeah, my ambition as a young lad growing up was to play for England and play at Wembley in a cup final. I just really, more than anything else really, I wanted to play in a cup final. Well, for anybody, you know, I just want to play in a cup final. And but not the League Cup, the FA Cup.
Had to be the FA Cup. It's a traditional one, of course it is. Yeah.
We had a really good party after the game, and I chairman was Jim Gregory, who was a well-known London character, and we had really, really good time at a hotel, and I got up early on the following morning. It was a really nice day, and we were in a hotel across from Hyde Park, and got all the papers and looked at that, and I thought, oh, this is just great, you know. I was so glad that we got another go at it, and I felt sure that we would win the second game. In all honesty, I think we probably, you know, we lost 1-0. You know, it's a game that we could have won. You know, we were unlucky. We hit the bar, we had a goal disallowed, we had, like, you know, and we played all right second games. First game, I think we were a little bit timid, and it was hard to get on the ball. I found it hard to get on the ball. Although it's a big pitch at Wembley, I think that Tottenham had done their work, like, you know.
What we haven't explained to anybody is that, as well as Tottenham being well prepared, they were playing week in, week out at a higher level than QPR, yeah, were, because you'd still to be promoted.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So we were, if you like, in that, in those days, second division team, so a championship team. So it'd be like, I don't know, Norwich playing playing Spurs today. But we had a team, you know, we had a team, we knew we were good. We just happened to be made in the second division, transported to the Premier League. And, you know, we, I think our first season we finished fifth, I think, Premier League. So we weren't, you know, we were good enough.
Ready for the jump. The way to finish this, I suppose, quiz question, and you're allowed to say I don't know, but it concerns you. At which club, given how good you were, which I'm a testimony to, and anybody listening now understands fully, at which club were you paid £1 a week?
our producer's club, is
it? Our producer, Neil, yes, at Falkirk. Yeah. Your contract stated it. I mean, I just have to say something. What had your career come to that you were forced to take £1 a week at to play football at Falkirk?
I was living a dream.
I told you we could do this all day and he'd still be coming out with lines like that.
I tell you, one of the happiest times of my life was playing football for Falkirk.
He's still not going to pay the bill. Whatever happens, whatever you say here. Why?
Freedom and just a general willingness of everyone at the same time to want to do something right. Everybody, you know. It didn't end that way, but it started that way, and it got to a point where it was far enough along for it to be all right. But it was before I'd signed there, you know, Jim Jeffries is a very, very cautious person. And he wanted to make sure he was getting something that was all right, you know. So they got a six-a-side tournament at Musselburgh, where Dundee were playing, Dundee United, Rangers, Celtic, Hibs, Hearts. And so we played this six-a-side competition, and I played for Falkirk. We won it, and I got the player of the tournament. And afterwards, I was thinking, like, well, it's nice of them to let me play in this, like, you know, because I actually thought it was like their under-21s or under-18s or something. I thought, you know, and I said, like, you know, it's good, you know, because I could have done me playing because I'd been on strike at Rouen, so I'd not been playing much. They stopped paying the players, so I decided to go on strike.
Withdraw your labour.
So, yeah. So I asked David Holmes, who was the chairman at the time. I said, like, what is it, under 18 or under 21? No, they're the first team players.
That was the best we've got.
And I went, like, excuse me. Be all right if I don't get injured. So, anyway, I'm pretty sure that Jim decided it might be all right after that.
I thought you were going to have the punchline would have been that he phoned Howard Wilkinson or Eric Cantona saying, am I going to let this go?
No, to be fair, Jim's an old school manager, but I've never come across a manager who worked as hard as he did. He used to go in his car and watch games down in England to try and bring a player back and be training bright and breezy at 10 o'clock the next day. And I don't know how he had the energy for it. He was so determined. I think it's because he came up through the ranks a little bit. And
when you earn, when you have to work hard for everything you earn,
yeah,
you never lose that habit.
And he really, really had that grit and determination. He should have been, I think he should have been a little bit more, should have defended me a little bit more and given me a bit more at the end. Like, you know, I think because we had agreed this pound a week thing wasn't forever. You know, this pound a week was until we got promoted.
Without saying anything worrying, in case your accountant's listening, there were certain attractions as to how often you played.
Yeah,
financially.
Yeah, how often you played, how many goals, and if we won the league. And I mean, I know that I probably earned around 8 times what the best paid player got in that year. You know, it was all on my back.
Your name had to be on the team sheet, you had to perform, you had to score, the team had to go up.
Yeah.
Incentives.
And you know what? I never thought about it once. Never once. Never thought about anything apart from playing and having fun.
Did you feel the love? Is that part of what made it fun? Because you, I don't know what the Hoops think about you, what Sheffield United, Rome might be a different case, but like at Falkirk, ahead of anything I know, I'd be like, you're literally just adored. And I guess with your character, that must have felt quite pleasant.
Yeah, it was great. I have to say, I'm not... With the internet, you can always look back now and again, and it's quite nice to look back now and again. And there are interviews on there with BBC and whoever else, and people say nice things. And the thing with Falkirk was, I don't know, it's just, were you there? Well, I'm asking the producer now. Were you there the day we won the league?
Yes.
Yeah. When I got on the table with the cup, it's just.
Happy days. So, dear listener, when you ask the right questions, sometimes you strike a chord. And what you're used to, particularly what I'm used to, I've spent a week where I went to Porto to speak to Iker Casillas. At Barcelona, I had a lovely interview with Eric Abidal and with Samuel Umtiti. And you're hoping that you connect. You're hoping that you get the right words. You're hoping that you get a smile and that you'll remember. When you ask a footballer that I adored and a guy who's become a friend, like, what was it like at Falkirk? And he was like, the thing that could still potentially reduce me to tears today would be standing on a table in Neil's hometown and lifting the cup in the air. Ah, that's the beauty of football. That's the gorgeous thing about football. Simon Stainrod, adopted Frenchman, Yorkshireman to the core, Falkirk title winner. This has been a wander through a garden of joy. You're outstanding. Hopefully you enjoyed that big interview, which was first released as an exclusive to our socios 12 months ago. If you'd like to get these interviews on the first day that they're available, it's time for you to join us, to become a socio, and for only £2.99 a month, you will get an exclusive big interview, plus regular mini-documentaries, not only all ad-free, but all featuring me, and bringing you interesting, funny, and sometimes scandalous things from Spanish football. Go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter to unlock our entire archive. That means that once you join, you will have a treasure trove of interviews with funny, elite, interesting, revelatory, top-class footballers. By joining us, you will help support this independent podcast. You will help to keep us on the road, interviewing people and sending that content for your delectation. If you go to the gym, you'll be slimmer. If you've got a dog, he or she will thank you. If you've got a TV, you can turn it off and listen to this instead.